Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You this morning. We have had, ladies, have we had a great weekend? It's been so much fun. And it really is, honestly, an honour to be here. I don't usually really say yes to many speaking engagements at the minute. My kids are very young and I really consider it before God. And if God says yes, we go. And I am so glad that I got to be here with you because I am passionate about local church. I think this is God's plan A. You are God's plan A for him to show glory to this area. And so I am so excited to be here and to build church and to hopefully speak courage into you. I'm going to, forgive me, just fiddle around with this because you might have heard that I move around a little bit. I have quite a bit of energy, which is quite frustrating at times because I get tired by my own energy. And so there we go. That's better. I can see that. I can see you and we're good. I'm just going to pray because it will help steady me, but I'm going to pray that God would speak through me, despite me, and whatever you're needing to hear this morning, that the Holy Spirit would minister to you right where you are. Heavenly Father, we love you and we come this morning and we say thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you that when we were at our worst, when we were broken, when we were lost, when we were covered in our sin, you gave your life for us and you loved us. We open our hearts to you this morning and say, Holy Spirit, would you come and have your way in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Lovely. We have been talking about freedom. We've been talking about taking brave steps. And I've got a secret. Today is my 22nd Jesus birthday. Come on, can we praise God? Oh, I love it. 22 years ago, just before, I'm still moving things, sorry. That's better. I like to move. I like to be as close as I can get. But 22 years today, it was a month before my 15th birthday. And a broken mess of a little girl said yes to Jesus. And that moment completely changed my life. And so I am so emotional this morning. I'm there crying in worship like this so I don't ruin and smudge my makeup because Jesus saved my life. And if there's one thing in nearly 20 years of ministry that I am passionate about, it's seeing people walk in freedom and the fullness of everything that God has for them. Because there are so many things that want to put limitations on and over your life. But Jesus didn't give his life so we would walk with limitation. Jesus gave his life so that we would walk and live in the fullness of the freedom that he comes to bring. And so he took this mess of a little girl, lots of chaos, lots of confusion, lots of crime in our family growing up. My mum was a barmaid and my dad was an alcoholic. And so it was a perfect storm of a combination. And there were some really dark moments. But I don't want to focus too much on those dark moments. I want to talk about the freedom and the liberation that he brings this morning. And so we're going to turn to Luke 24, if you've got your Bibles, or I'm not sure if it's on a screen, but even if you've got, do you remember those paper things, those Bibles with pages? Love a good paper Bible. But Luke 24, and we're going to read from verse 13. Now, this is the resurrection. I know it's not Easter yet. We're nearly at Easter, but I couldn't help it. I love this scripture because Jesus has risen. The women have gone to the tomb and they have said, Jesus is risen. They even say it to Peter and he's like, well, their words seem like nonsense. Surely what you're saying cannot be true. They're absolutely amazed at what they say. And to be honest, they're just like, we won't believe that. And so this is where we then pick up the story. Verse 13. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked, they discussed these things to each other. And Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood there, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened these past few days? What things? He said. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, and before God and all people. The chief priests and our rulers, they handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, this is a third day since it took place. Skip into verse 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going a bit further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and began to give it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were our hearts not burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" And they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those with them assembled and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." They'd spent centuries longing for a Messiah, believing that God was going to redeem Israel, believing that someone was going to come and was going to restore all things just as the word of God said. And they lived these past 3 years following who they thought was the Messiah, who they thought was Lord. They'd given their whole lives, they'd abandoned their trades, their lives to follow and put their hope in Jesus. And we find them on this road, having had enough. They thought all hope was lost. They thought everything was undone. They were at their end. We thought and we'd hoped that he was the Messiah. And yet what they didn't realize in their darkest moment, in their most abandoned place when everything came crashing down, was that Jesus was always in their midst. He was walking alongside them. And no matter what you're going through right now, have been through or are even going to go through, there is never a moment where the Lord isn't with you, talking to you, ministering to you. But often we can be stopped from seeing the Lord right with us. And the message I champion is that every single believer would live in that freedom of that relationship with Jesus, that closeness and that intimacy to know his nearness, to know his presence, and do anything to get rid of those things that can stop us recognizing and walking with Jesus. And I'm not talking about a type of freedom that we see maybe on the movies and kind of like the extreme dramatic versions that maybe come to your mind, but I'm talking no insecurities, no limitations, no addictions and no fears, the things that maybe internally we don't like to talk about because we might perceive them as weakness or limitation. You know, there's some things where we seek God and we need a breakthrough. Freedom can look like breakthrough, that in an instant you hear stories of people being set free from addictions and in that moment being completely, completely transformed. You see moments where actually people have to work through things to a place of freedom. God is just as real on that journey as he is in the breakthrough. But sometimes we have to walk through things to find freedom. And each and every one of them, Jesus is in the midst, calling you and I on. This is a quality of life issue. It's about what we do from the moment we've been set free to the moment we will be set free. And I talk about it all that time. The moment that I see Jesus and I get to see him face to face. And my husband talks about this. And my husband loves taking the face of our precious little kids. And he holds their cheeks. And he looks them in the eye. And he says, "I love you." And he says, "When I cross that finish line, I'm going to stand with the face of Jesus in my hands and say, 'I love you.'" And that is so my husband's personality. It's not mine. So I think about, well, what are me and Jesus going to do? What's he going to be like for us? And I have a lot of fun with Jesus because he's my bestie. And I thought, oh, when the kids were really, really small, wherever we were in our church building's quite big, I'd just do this thing where I would clap, stamp my foot and go. And they knew that at that moment, it was time to run at mum. So, and they'd run and they'd just jump and land in my hands and I would scoop them up and say, "I love you." And I was like, I think that's how I'm going to meet Jesus. I think he's going to stand there and he's going to say, "Come on." But because I'm a little bit, sometimes really clumsy, I think we'll probably not quite get there. Bash heads, fall on the ground, and just laugh together. Like, that's my Jesus. And so whatever it is for you, it's that moment that I want to put in your mind. This journey that we are on is worth fighting for that. It's worth the pain and the battle to ensure that we get that moment when we get to be with Jesus, to put our hands on his scars and say, thank you. Thank you for saving me. It's worth it. But freedom is what happens between the moment we say yes and the moment we see his face. I think there's liberation to be lived in the in-between. And that's what I want to look at this morning. And so what's maybe that one thing that's your constant New Year's resolution, if you make them? Or maybe it's just your goal every year. Okay, this year I'm going to deal with that. It's that thing that maybe when you're watching TV that comes up and you're like, oh, just reminds you, and it's that challenge or that pain. Maybe it's the habitual sin that you've never told anybody but you really struggle with, and you're so ashamed that you're going to be judged, you keep it quiet and feel so trapped by it. I don't know what it might be for you, but I know my journey. And I know that time and time and time and time again, I have to come and say, God, I'm undone before you again. I can't do this without you. Would you help me with this one thing? Just help me get over this one thing, because I don't want anything to stop me from getting to that moment where I see your face and I hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Help me to drop, to shake off anything that is going to stop that moment. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. We were set free, but we can be burdened again. And I think for all of us, we need to be reminded of what Jesus did on that cross. That was so beautifully led this morning. Thank you so much for leading communion. And I am so glad that the blood of Christ is easier to access than those little cups. Because I was having a moment where I thought I was going to get up here wearing my cup. And so in the end, I almost had to suck it out of like a little crack that I managed to make. But anyway, oh, thank you, Lord. So Jesus came to set us free. And I've got four little things this morning that I want to share. It's a bit of a recap for the women, but men, there's a battle over your life and over your manhood. And the enemy will do anything to trip you up and to not have good, godly men building his church. And I believe that for you, there are some things that you need to put right with Christ this morning to say, I will fight this good fight so that future generations of men are going to be found in the house of God. And so I am speaking to everyone in the room today. The first thing is this, spot the strongholds. A stronghold is a lie. It is something that sets itself up against the very truth of the word of God. The word for it in Greek is ochiroma, I think is how you pronounce it, but let's be honest, no one knows, so we'll go with it. That's how it is. Ochiroma, and it literally means to be a prisoner locked up by deception. In the basic version of Leanne, it's believing something that's not true. And for most of us, it's those little lies that we accept. You know, we have a common enemy, and he's known as the deceiver of the world, the father of lies. And for every single one of you, when you try and step out for God, again, ladies, we talked about it, and if you want a bit more to unpack on this, just go back and maybe, men, listen to some of the messages. Not because I think I'm great, but because the word of God is great, and we unpacked it around this topic over the last couple of days. But the lies that he places in our mind, they steal our focus. They distract us, they consume us, they make us controlled by our desires. They make us feel powerless that we're ever going to change or that change is possible. Just like these disciples on the road. We had hoped, but we were wrong. We got it wrong. What fools were we to believe that this guy was going to change things? And little did they know that victory had already taken place. Let's not get stuck on the treadmill of the lies and the thoughts that go through our mind. And as I prayed for you, I was reminded when I first got saved, there were so many layers that I had to peel back of trauma off of my life. And I was so not trusting of people that I'd meet one person and I'd maybe share a little bit about that area of my life. And then I'd maybe meet another person and I'd maybe share a little bit of this part of my life. And there was never really anyone. And what I found is that I was going round in this Achilles heel. that I wasn't getting anywhere because I wasn't really opening up to anyone that could journey me to a place of wholeness. And I felt, just as I was praying for you, and I hope that I'm wrong, that actually there's some of you, that this is maybe your fifth or sixth church. You may be moving from place to place and home to home, and maybe it's a trust thing, that you're struggling to put roots down because there's some things going on in your inner world that once people start to get to know you, you panic and you flee. You cannot, I think, break through with Christ unless you surrender to him. And the body of Christ is here to love you, to help you and restore you. Stop church hopping. Put some roots down. Become accountable. Nobody in church likes that word, accountable. Oh, confess your sins to one another. What a verse in the Bible. I mean, does anyone love that verse? Me too. Like, make yourselves accountable. Oh, that we would be the people that are the quickest to come and say, I am messed up. I mess up. I get it wrong. Who are we to think that we should have it all together? Because we know the real us. And we don't have it always all together. But then we come to church with our church mask. Hi, I'm great. How are you? Isn't church great? Yeah. We're just going to breeze and float by on the Holy Spirit because we have no issues and we've never got anything wrong. And we can do that. We laugh about it. But we can do that. And I'm not saying come and be raw and a broken mess every single week in church. I'm not saying that. But when we get real, it gives other people to get real. And actually, sometimes hearing someone's weakness brings us strength to realize, oh, okay, it's okay to still not be all together, to not have this all figured out. And the thing is, God can only heal what you're willing to reveal. God can only heal what you are willing to reveal. If this morning there's that habitual thing that's going on in your world, let's get accountable. Let's drop the strongholds. Really quick, I don't know if I'd have time for this, but I'm going to go with it real quick. Three things that can build strongholds in our life. The first one is our surroundings. Culture today, you don't need me to tell you, is not in line with the word of God. Culture today will tell you, do what you feel, do what feels good. You know, follow your heart. Bible says that your heart is the most wicked and deceitful of all things. If I follow that thing, I'm going to be back more than a mess than where I started before I met Christ. Society can tell you one thing. There are so many strongholds. Let's be different. Let's be those called and empowered to live kingdom values in a broken world. Yeah, come on. Some of you are getting this. I do better, not with feedback for me, but when you hear something that's praiseworthy, praise God, because it encourages me that I'm speaking truth and not waffle. So our surroundings, and it sounds like things like do what makes you feel good. But this is all I know. It's just how I've always done it. It's who I am. Come on, that's not what he says. He says we're a new creation. He says the new has come and the past has gone. He speaks so much better things over our world. Our surroundings can build strongholds. The second one is our story. The things that you go through form you. And that's a good thing if we overcome them. But when we get defined by them, when they become our identity, it sounds like, it's just who I am. It's okay for you, but for me, we get trapped sometimes in our story. And almost, I know for me, shame and fear were my identity. It was almost like if I truly gave them to Jesus, I don't know who I'm going to be anymore. Because they've almost, the very thing that's crippling me has actually become my comfort blanket. And we just need to be careful that our story doesn't stop us from giving everything to the Lord. And our sin, giving in to temptation. Jesus himself was tempted, take note, but he overcome by the word of God. Oh, if I want to champion something more than anything in the world, it's that the word of God is living and active and powerful. And why would you not get that into you? If you are struggling, please don't avoid it. Delve into it. It will search you. It will heal you. It will soothe you. It is the best way to understand how we live life here on earth so that we can get there and hold his face. It is our instruction. Oh, church, please. Why don't we all this week up our Bible reading by at least 5-10 minutes? Set alarms if you need to. Set Bible verses as your backdrop. Get the very thing that you need into you so that we can combat these lies. So to fully live in freedom, we need to spot the strongholds. The second thing, women, you'll be getting familiar with this now, is to surrender the situation. The disciples were so stopped from seeing that, but there came this moment of surrender. And I don't know. I nearly called this preach enough is enough. We have a running joke in our house because when I get a little bit stressed, which happens frequently, I get a bit agitated and it's just an enough kind of mum voice. Okay, that's my word. It's enough. The behaviour's enough. I've had enough. It's just enough is enough kind of moment. And so it's a running joke. And Tom actually got me for a Mother's Day. I have this little necklace on and it says the word enough. And he wrote in the card, he says, because you're enough for us. Because when enough is enough, I know you give it to Jesus. And I was like, honestly, I wear that. And it's my wee little encouragement on my neck whenever I'm doing things like this. Because I'm like, oh, but behind it all is your grace is enough for me. Because power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more in my weakness. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. Can we drop the mask and surrender to the Lord when we've had enough? And I don't know when your moment of enough is enough was. I shared some of mine with the ladies over the weekend. But the one that I didn't share, just to paint a picture of the level of fear I cannot describe to you. I would frequently have nightmares of being murdered or worse. I was so heavily controlled by fear. We were not allowed to get haircuts without permission. We had to sneak anything new we needed to buy into our home because of the levels of control that were in our home. We were very, very heavily known by the police. You would not want to live in our neighborhood. We were the type of family, I've got young kids now, that if we walked down the street, you would see parents pull their kids closer into them as they walk by. That was the environment that we grew up in. And we tried to leave so many times. We left so many times. My mum would pack us up and we'd be off to Gran's again. And within a couple of days, the lies and the fear and the manipulation that our life would somehow be worse off if we weren't in that environment, we would just go straight back. And I remember my mum saying to my gran, if I wind up dead, you need to tell the police that it wasn't an accident. And they need to figure out why it happened. Like that was how we lived. And I remember the moment of breaking point where enough was enough. And I had a conversation with my mum and we'd made the decision together after church one day, after she gave her life to the Lord. And we says, we're not going back. And we were totally redeemed and set free and we left that household. But we was in communication with the police because there was some things that we needed. You know, everything we owned was in that house. And so the police says, okay, we'll go with you. And because we were so known by the police, we were given three police cars, one for the front, one for the back and one for the side because of the amount of police chases that we'd been in the past. We had three armed guards to stand over my dad. One at the bottom of the stairs, one in the hallway and two outside. And they says, you have 10 minutes to get everything that you need. I have never been more petrified in my entire life. Enough was enough. It was breaking point. I says, God, you can redeem. You can restore. You can set free. We can do all things through Christ who sets us free. He was in an absolute coma. He drank so much he didn't even know we'd been in. God was so gracious. We got in. We got the very few precious things that we had. And we stood in liberation, completely set free. It is an incredible moment. But there is a point for every single one of us where you feel that you're at break point. And you have a choice whether you give that moment to Jesus or whether you hold it in. I am so radically on my face and on my knees now to say, God, I never want to get back to that point again of anxiety or fear. But if we're honest, many of us can live with anxieties and fears in day-to-day life. From small things like I can't go in a room if there's a spider to big things and scary things. And anxiety isn't bad. Let me tell you, God made you incredibly well. Anxiety is simply like a warning light on your car to tell you that something's wrong. Anxiety in itself, I don't think is bad. It's only bad when we ignore it and we suppress it. Anxiety is the warning light that something hasn't been surrendered. So when you feel anxious, I would love you before God to say, God, why am I feeling this? Am I fearing man's opinion? Does that mean I don't know who I am in you? Why am I afraid to step out? Why is that thing? And it's when something throws us outside of what we feel is control. Ask the Lord. Lord, I surrender this to you. Spot the strongholds. Surrender the situation. And I struggled with this for 10 years because that was the level of fear. And I came to a place called Falkirk about 10 years ago. After we'd moved up to Aberdeen and felt called and were pastors in the church. And I had a real fear of doors being open because I would go into a room and look for the nearest exit just in case. And I'd still got this level of anxiety even 10 years into my walk with Jesus. And I was traveling on my own. My husband wasn't with me. And I can't remember what hotel it was, which now I think about it, it's probably a good thing because you'd never stay there. But I got the keys to my room and I remember being really anxious. Like I used to at one point, the anxiety was so bad that when I went into my home, I would stand as a barge against my door while I quickly locked it before I could relax in my own home. 10 years after giving my life to Jesus, still living with that level of anxiety and fear. Why? Because there was some stuff that I'd not given him yet. And anyway, got to this hotel room and I got my key and I was like, yeah, I can do this. It's going to be fine. Jesus is with me. Declaring all the verses, the things that you do. Tap the key card, walks in and there's a couple chilling in the room. Praise God that story is not any worse than simply that. But honestly, I tell you what, my levels of fear went through the roof and I went to reception. I was like, you've given me a key card to somebody else's room. They're like, oh, we are so sorry. I was like, well, them you should be sorry to. That could have been terrible. Like, but they had no idea. I was like, but what if you give my key card to someone? What if somebody comes into my room? You don't know how triggering that is for me. And the fear was so overwhelming. And I was in a bad way. I was sobbing and I was crying out. And it got to this point and I was like, God, I have had enough. This is not who you say I am. And I got on my face in that hotel room and I cried before the Lord. Enough is enough. God, would you heal this? I give it to you. I give you everything. And honestly, that verse in peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe, came to my mind. And honestly, the Lord healed me in an incredible way. And I'm not saying this just for a preach illustration. We forgot to lock our door on Friday night in our hotel. You need to pray for my husband, because I often leave my house with the keys in the door still. And then I get home and I'm like, oh, the keys are hanging from the outside of my house. The Lord has healed me to the point that it's a disaster, people. Honestly, there is no safety anymore around my home. So pray for us. God's got our back. But what do you need to surrender this morning? What do you need to give to the Lord? Because I believe he wants to bring healing. The next thing is to speak scripture. To speak scripture. When anxiety is high, when fear is high, when you think there is no hope, there is this wonderful declarations in the disciple in their walk where they declare, it is true. The Lord has risen. That changes everything. There was a declaration to sustain their revelation. For you and your breakthrough and your journey with Christ, for every new revelation that God gives you, there is a declaration that you need to speak. And for so many of you, and even some of you I've had conversations with you've said, oh, well, I'm just a bit silly and I'm just a bit this. I'm like, hey, it's not what the Word of God says. And I don't say that to convict you. I say that because to my core, I have had to declare scripture to get my mind in line with what he says and not with what I feel. It's time to speak the scriptures. And for the fourth thing, ladies, it's shake it off, set it up, speak it out, step it out. Ooh, love that action. Anyway, there you go. So you can add that one, speak it out into a little rhetoric. We'll go with that. But for the men, you're like, what just happened? I was dancing. That's all. It's time to get scripture. I love the Word of God to sustain the revelation. There needs to be a new declaration. And finally, we can get the band up. It's to seek the Holy Spirit. You cannot break through by simply declaring, by shaping your mind, by doing all of these things. I believe it is that moment of surrender where we say before God, I've had enough of trying to do it on my own. I need your help, God. I need your help to break through this thing, to shake off that sin. God, I give you my prodigal child. And I really felt I wanted to encourage you. I believe the next time I come, God willing, if I'm invited back, I believe the next time I come, some of your children that you've been praying for decades are going to be sat next to you. As I prayed that, I really felt that over you. And I believe we're going to be in that building. But you know what? You are already the body of Christ. You don't need to pursue a building. You just need to seek his spirit. And the more as a body you can seek the Holy Spirit, God will sort you out. You don't need to work it out. You don't need to understand it. The meetings you have, God's already gone before you. And God has called you, Elizabeth and Stephen, to lead this next phase. And he is all over you. I see it. You are the real deal. Can you guys pray for your pastors? Because it's not always the easiest thing, but we're called to it. We're committed and we're not going anywhere, sadly. For some of you, pray for them, encourage them. But more than anything, as a body, can you seek the Holy Spirit together? Why don't we stand to our feet? It's not church that's going to restore you. It's not the worship. It's not even the people. It is the power and the presence of God that we find in these things. And together, we want to seek God because it is not by might. It is not by power, but it is by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord. What do you need to surrender this morning? What is it you want to do a deal with, Lord, and say, Lord, I'm so sorry that I've been trying to beat this thing, change this thing, all by myself. I trust you with it. I surrender it before you, and I give it to you. And you know, if there's one thing, I never want to hide the challenge. Because for all of us, there's things that we'll go through. Past, present, and probably in the future. Even to the point that a couple of years ago, I was in a really bad place. I went through a time of counseling for the first time and it was really healing. It was wonderful, actually. And the Lord was just working on a few more layers. Even as a pastor, still had a few more layers. And I read the most beautiful words of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark. And it says, he went a little further and he fell on the ground. And Jesus himself said that if it's possible, the hour might pass from him. And he cried out, Abba Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. Jesus himself had a breaking moment of as enough is enough, but he knew the will of God had to come more highly than his desire. And I wrote some words in that in a crazy time. There was a storm going on where quite literally the roof of our kids' home blew off and the little kid's house in our garden, there was a wheelbarrow flew across. And in that moment, I was flat on the floor in my back room praying. Surrender again, Lord. And this storm was literally raging outside. And I just tangibly felt the presence of God. In that moment, for you this morning, it's time to surrender. And we're going to sing. I love that third song. I'm going to so get that in my playlist. I have never heard that song, but we're going to sing whatever it was again. It's about surrender and laying our lives down. And I just wonder this morning if I've been sent so that you can be ministered to by the Holy Spirit in only a way that he knows how. I don't need to know what the Lord's doing. I just want to champion you to spot some strongholds, to surrender the situation, to speak the scripture and surrender it to him this morning. Holy Spirit, right now we invite your holy presence to come. You're already here, Lord. You're just waiting for our hearts to connect, for us to lean in.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.